Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, number 103. Psalm number 103 is a great psalm, and I've used it a number of times. I'm sure it has been used many, many times by preachers. It seems as though every time you look into the Scripture, there's always something fresh, there's always something new. We have an old book, but it's certainly got a new message. And every time we look at it, there's something different for us, and what the Lord will highlight one time we read it, He highlights something else the next time and just keeps it fresh in our hearts and our minds. So let's read. It only has 22 verses, and we're just going to use just the first few verses, but let's read all of them tonight and notice some things here in this Psalm number 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who rendereth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. You ought to put a big amen out there beside that. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are our dust. As for man, his days are as grass, and as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, and excel in strength that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His host, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. As we read this passage or this psalm, of course we remember that the psalms were nothing more than songs to the Jewish people. We read them and they sang them. That was their Jewish hymn book. And they were singing here in this particular passage, they sang praises unto the Lord. You talk about a praise and worship service, I believe these verses here would sort of be classified as praise and worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless the Lord. And so the psalmist starts out with a blessing to the Lord, and then that last verse says the very same thing. Someone has said this is like David's Hallelujah chorus. He is just continually blessing the Lord. He gives us many things here that are good for us and things that we rejoice in. As we read that verse a moment ago, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Thank God He does not do that. He gives us mercy and He has forgiveness for us. If He dealt with us according to our sins and according to our iniquities, we would all be in hell where we deserve to go. But we have mercy from the Lord. We have grace from God. And the psalmist here is just praising the Lord that He does not deal with us according that way. And as the heavens are high above the earth, so is His mercy. Thank God for the mercy of the Lord. And that verse there that we use so many times, we quote in many different occasions, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And they're gone. Therefore, we can sing the song. You ask me why I'm happy. It's because my sins are gone. And so tonight the psalmist was putting into words the expression and the feeling of praise to God for His good mercy upon them. His mercy, as verse number 17 tells us, is from everlasting to everlasting. That means there's no end to it. Thank God there's no end to the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God for us. And so David just says, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And so tonight I want us to think about these first few verses. And you can put out beside that, this is what I've titled the message tonight, God's Benefit Package. You know, when we sometimes when we apply for a job, we're not only interested in what we get per hour, but we're interested in what kind of benefits comes with that job. And any more, the benefits are maybe just as important as the hourly amount that we receive from an employer. And tonight, in these first few verses, I believe we see a great benefit package that comes to us from our Heavenly Father. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And the Bible says here, and forget not all His benefits. God has a lot of benefits for His children. And as we read these verses, we find that David was praising the beauty and the wonders of the Lord. And these 22 verses give forth the expression of David's heart for all that the Lord had done for him. And anytime, really and truly, anytime we are having trouble praising the Lord, it'd be good to read this verse. It'd be good to read this passage, because we have much to praise God about and much to offer our thanksgiving for continually, because He has done so much for us. And so verse number 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. The benefit package that God gives His children, and the message that is given to us throughout His Word. We are blessed daily, and He gives to us. Psalms 68 and verse number 19 says, excuse me, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Every day, God just loads us down with benefits. It says, even the God of our salvation. And so, daily, God offers and God gives and God loads us with His blessings and the wonderful things of the Lord. And what a benefit package we have from God. What a great responsibility He has given to us. But along with that responsibility comes the blessings of the Lord. And He just says, I'll help you, and I'll undergird you, and I'll give you strength, and I'll do what you cannot do. And all these things are given to us. And Psalms number 116, verse 12 says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? What am I going to give back? And what am I going to be able to do because of all the good things that He has done for us? I'll tell you, when you consider the things of the Lord, it's not possible for us to render enough service to the Lord. It's not possible for us to do enough to make the even balance of things, because we could never balance out the compensation that God gives to us and the benefits. And you could work a million years and still not be able to have anything near what the Lord has honored us with. And so tonight I want us to look at this benefit package and this package that God offers to the child of God. And here in these first five verses, I believe we find five bountiful blessings or five benefits that come to us as a Christian. These benefits are recorded beginning in verse number 3, 4, and 5 that God gives to us. And we're just going to look at them briefly and notice the blessings of being a child of God, of being a Christian, of being a believer, and all the things that He has so freely given to us, and the mercy that has been bestowed upon us, the grace and the loving kindness, all these things, I believe, are all sort of wrapped up in these five things that we look at tonight. And some of them are very, very simple, but sometimes we forget them. We need to always remember them. In verse number 3, I find here the very first thing. It says, verse 2 said, not forget His benefits, and then he begins to list some things. First of all, who forgiveth all thy iniquities. I'm glad tonight my sins have been covered. I'm glad, thank God, He's taken away. He's made us a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have coverage for our sin. Somebody says, do I have hospital coverage? Do I have this kind of coverage? Well, with the Lord, you've got complete coverage, and thank God He takes away all of our sins, all of our iniquities, all of our transgressions, and these things have been bestowed upon us because He loves us, and we can declare that the price has been paid and been paid in full. I'm glad the Lord doesn't just put a down payment on us. I'm glad He buys us completely. He doesn't just put a earnest money down, but He pays it in full. And when we got saved, as the verse here says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far the Lord's removed our sins from us. And so the benefit of being of knowing Him is that our sins have been forgiven. The price has been paid. And I'm glad the price was His death and not mine. He loved us and went to Calvary for us. It should have been me. It should have been you. It should have been all of us that would suffer and die for our own sin. And I'm glad we have a substitute. I'm glad we have a Savior. I'm glad we have a propitiation. His name's Jesus Christ, that mediator between man and God. For we are bought with price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And here, that verse there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says we're to glorify the Lord in our bodies and in our spirit because of what He has done. He has saved us. He has bought us with a price, and the penalty has been pardoned. We're no longer guilty under the fall of man. We have been taken and made a new creature in Christ, as we dealt with some this morning. And as He says here, our sins are gone, and as far as the east is from the west. How far can you go east until you're west? It's a hard question. And now you can find the North Pole, and after that you begin to travel south. You can go to the South Pole, and after that, when you get to that point, you begin to travel north. And so there is a division. But you can't find a division between east and west. And you can go west so long until you end up in the east. And you can go east so far that you'll end up right back and you've traveled west. And there's just no ending to it. And that's, thank the Lord, that's what the Lord's done to our sins. And He's put them as far as the east is from the west. And the Bible says in John 1:29 that Jesus came that next day, and it says the next day John seeth Jesus coming to him, said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Thank God our sins are gone. And we no longer have to worry about them. They've been taken away, and not just covered, but they've been taken away. And we're dead in our sins and trespasses. We've been made alive through the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. So number one benefit is that we're saved. Number one benefit of the child, being a child of God, is that we our sins no longer will come up to haunt us and come up to testify against us, because He has forgotten them. He has removed them. He has cast them from His remembrance and no longer is there. That's only a Savior can do that. He said, "I can't do that. I know my sins from yesterday. I remember my sins from last year. I remember certain things in my life that I did that was wrong. I remember that, but God says, I've forgotten it." What a benefit that we have in the Lord, that He doesn't bring that up and hold that over us. You know, sometimes folks almost sometimes folks have a hard time understanding why that a Christian can be so happy in the midst of troubles. It's because our sins are gone. How can a Christian have joy when seemingly everything around us is crumbling? Well, we have that because we know who we belong to. We know who holds tomorrow. We know who handles the day that's ahead. And so therefore, I can rejoice in the Lord. And I can be like David and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His name. Bless the Lord." So that's a pretty good benefit. You've never applied for a job that could give you that kind of benefit. It doesn't matter how much per hour you might get. You've never had someone say, "Well, I can take care of your sins. I can take care of your past." Most of those folks now, and rightfully so, when you apply for a job, they do a background check. They want to make sure where you've been, who you are, that you say you are a certain person. They want to make sure you who you say you are. And they do all kind of checks on that. But they can't forgive sin. They can't take that away, and they can't blot out what they'll find in that background check. And they can only read it and see it there. Oh, but thank God the Lord says your sins are gone. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful benefit that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said the benefit package of the Lord is out of this world. It's out of this world. Wonderful things that we have in Christ. Not only do we have a coverage for our sins, but we have a cure for our sickness. Look at verse number 3 also. He says, "Who healeth all thy diseases." Now, I've never had anybody tell me they could heal me of every disease. We go to the doctor, we have problems, I wonder now, anybody have any doctor's appointments this coming week? Okay, there's one, two, three. Oh, that's enough. I thought I was going to get by and nobody have one. I'm probably next week, if I ask the same question, some other hands would go up. Sometimes maybe the same hands go up because we have to keep going. But I'm glad God has given us physicians. And I'm glad He's the great physician. I'm glad He has given us people that can learn and find out why things happen in our body the way it happens and read all those different things and journals and know what's what. And it seems as though when you mention a problem, this is what causes that, or this is what causes that, and let me give you this medication. I can help you do this, but I've never had a doctor say, "Your sins are gone." I've never had a doctor say that I'll cure all your sicknesses and cure all your ills and everything. But I'm glad, thank God, not only does He cure simple things in my heart and my life, but thank God He heals us from our sins. And that sort of goes along what we're just dealing with. And He was wounded for our transgressions, the Scripture says in Isaiah 53:5. And He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. Now that healing there is a spiritual healing. I've heard TV evangelists, and they're wanting this to come their way, and they'll read that verse and say, "Now by His stripes you'll get healed. You just send me $50 and it'll take care of it, and I'll pray over this handkerchief and I'll send it back to you, and you can put it on your head or whatever and you'll get healed." That's not what that verse is talking about. He says here, "By His stripes we are healed." He's talking about a spiritual healing of our sin sickness and the need that we must have in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Who in His own self bare our sins in His own body." I like his own self, His own body, on a tree, "that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." And again, that is a spiritual healing. Healing from our sins. I'm glad to thank God He's also the great physician for my body. And I believe that He is the great healer. I don't believe in faith healers, but I believe in the healer called Jesus Christ. And He uses people and uses things and uses different occasions to help us in those areas. And the words of God here says, "He healeth all thy diseases." Somebody said, "Well, I prayed for so-and-so for years and they never were healed and they died." Well, when they passed into eternity with the Lord, all their diseases were healed. All those things are in the past. All those things are over. In just a few days, we may hear that Brother Ebert has gone home to be with the Lord. All of the ailments that he has will be healed. When I watched my mom take her last breath, all of her disease was over. And so therefore David says one of his benefits is that he can take care of his children. One of the things we desire to do as a parent, we want to take care of our children. We want to make sure they have what they need. We want to make sure they have the physical things that's needed in life. And so therefore we struggle, we work, we get those things together, and we try our best to make sure they have what they need. Well, the Lord's the same way by His children. He makes sure we have what we need. And David says here that not only does He forgive our iniquities, but thank God He heals all of our diseases. Sin sickness, that's a disease that'll kill. It's a deadly disease. I'm glad it can be healed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to our heart. And then He takes care of us day by day. You say, "Oh, I have a lot of aches and pains, and I don't believe the Lord's doing too much." Just let Him take His hand off of you a little while. You'll see how much He's doing. I was taking some pills not too long. I'm still taking them. And I told the doctor, I said, "Well, I'm not too..." He said, "Are they doing you good?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I'm my knee feels about as bad when I take them as I did before. He said, well, let's do a little experiment. He said, this is a real scientific experiment. I knew then I was in trouble. He said, you take them for another week, and then you just stop taking them all of a sudden and see how you feel. He said, now, if your feelings doesn't change, if your knee doesn't hurt more, if things don't get worse, you can just throw those pills away because they're not helping you. Well, after about 4 days, it didn't take a week. After about 4 days, I decided, I think I'll get ready and take those pills again. Because they're helping. Even though I didn't recognize it, I maybe didn't see it, and I still had the pain. I wasn't sure it was doing any good. But I'll tell you what, without it, without the medication, without the anti-inflammatory medicine, without that, I realized, oh, it is helping. Oh, thank God we have people that will help us that way. But I have a great Savior that helps me more than that. Takes care of all my problems. Takes care of all my diseases. And heals us and helps us. And healing for our sins and healing for our spirit. Sometimes the child of God has a broken spirit. Boy, the world's rough on us. And the devil knows how to come at us. And we sometimes are suffering from broken hearts and broken spirits. I'm glad the Lord can handle that too. Never been a case that He couldn't take care of. Never been an ailment that He couldn't cure. And His way is always the best. So, pretty good benefit package so far. I believe I'll take the job. I believe I can handle that. And here He covers my sins and He cures my sickness. And then there's compensation for our souls. He redeemeth thy life from destruction, Psalm 103, verse 4. It says there in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Every one of us sitting in here tonight, we were headed toward destruction. It's within us. We have a self-destruct mechanism in us that's called the old Adamic nature and old Adamic sin. And we were headed toward destruction. We were going that way as fast as we could go, day by day, week by week, year by year. We were headed toward the end of life, and destruction was the only thing that was waiting us. Oh, but here the Scripture says one of His benefits is that He has forgiven us and He's healed us, and now He's redeemed us from destruction. He has He has compensated our souls that no longer do we have to be ruined. Sin has ruined the world. You look around tonight and you turn on the news, you read the newspaper and you listen to the radio broadcast, but this old world's ruined. Oh, maybe it'll be better tomorrow, preacher. I don't think so. You hear of wars and rumors of wars. You hear of death and destruction. Sin is taking its toll. Sin is gradually overcoming this world, and all of a sudden we are in the midst of turmoil everywhere. Oh, but thank God I have a Savior. I have one that will take care of my soul. I have one that will redeem me and one that has redeemed my life from destruction. The sin has ruined us. And the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. There's not a one of us immune from this thing of sin. I've told you about when Amy was a little girl, we'd say, you're just a sinner. Boy, she'd get mad. See, I'm 2 or 3 years old. I said, oh, you're just a little sinner. Man, she wouldn't like that at all. And she said, I'm not a sinner, Daddy. Oh, but we all are sinners. Rebecca was asking Amy the other day about some things. Of course, James getting saved and others in the church getting saved. Rebecca looks and she begins to ask questions. And Amy said, well, do you know you're a sinner? And Rebecca said, I don't sin. I said, chip off the old block, Amy. Amy said, you mean you've never told a lie? No, not me. She said, I closed my Bible and said, you're doing fine. Oh, but thank God tonight we have a Savior that takes care of the ruin. One of these days she'll understand. One of these days they'll understand what's needed, and there'll be a Savior there for her. The sin has ruined us, but we have a Savior that redeems us. We have a Lord that loves us, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:24, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, Colossians 1:14. And we have all these things because of the benefit that He gives to us as His child. No wonder David, as he wrote these things, no wonder he started out the psalm, because maybe he knew exactly what was going to flow to him, and he knew what he was going to write, and he just had to start out, "Bless the Lord." He knew what was going to be coming. He knew the words that were going to be coming, and no wonder he starts out, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me." And then after he writes all of this, he comes down to the last verse, he said, "Bless the Lord." It just comes to the point that all he could say is, "Bless the Lord, honor and praise be unto Him." So he gives us compensation for our soul. He saves us from destruction. Our soul, our life was on sin's destructive pathway. And without the intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would die and go to hell. But thank God He intervenes. Thank God He puts things before us to warn us of the impending judgment, to warn us of what's out ahead. And without Christ, no life. Pretty good package so far. The next thing is in verse number 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and then it says here, crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. So now He's going to give me a crown. He's going to crown for our service. He's going to give us something that's worthwhile. He has given us coverage for our sins. He has given us a cure for our sickness. He's compensated our souls, and now He gives us a crown for our service. We love Him because He first loved us. We have these verses, and the crown always speaks of royalty. And this, on this side of heaven, we don't have any royalty. There's no royal blood in me. I don't want to check up my pedigree. I don't want to check up back there somewhere. I'm afraid I might not like where I came from. But because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's crowned me. And He's given me a royal, made us part of the royal priesthood. We become a child of God. And the Bible says in Galatians 4:7 that we're no more servant but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Here we have made the trip from being a lowly servant, and He's made us a son. Now He makes us an heir. That's a pretty good trip. From down here, a pauper of nothing, up here to one that receives benefits from the King of Glory. And that's exactly what He's done for us. And the crown always speaks of royalty. It speaks of riches. This past year, we went over to visit Brother Ronnie there in Wales, and we made some trips to see some of the things, and we went in that vault that has all the crown jewels. My, I'm telling you. And you walk through the door, and it's about that thick. And they say, "Now you're in the most secure place in England. You're in the most secure place in Europe. And you're probably in the most secure place in the world." And all those jewels are there, the crowns. It speaks of riches. I'd never seen anything like that. And they just went on and on and on and on and on. They don't know. I'm sure they don't know the total worth of it. And there in that the London Tower, all those things. But I have something better than that. I'm an heir, a joint heir with Christ Jesus. A God that made it all, a God that knows it all, a God that gives it all. I'm a joint heir with His Son. I'm because I'm a child of the King. And so, one of the benefits here from the Lord is that He gives us a service. He gives us a crown. And that crown is given to us that one day we might offer it back to Him. That we'll thank Him one day in heaven. We'll rejoice and thank Him for all what He did for us. You see, heaven's not a fairy tale. Heaven's not a place where you float around like a ghost and a spirit. Heaven's a place where we're going to worship God. Heaven's a place we're going to have a new body. We're going to have a body fashioned like unto His body. We're going to live in the mansions of God. We're going to have things that belong to us. And physically, it's not all. It's not just a fairy tale. It's not a spirit. We're going to be a real person as we are now, just changed in the image of Christ. And we're going to worship and honor the Lord throughout all eternity for what He's done for us. And the benefit, the crown that He gives to us, we'll offer it back to Him because He's worthy. He is worthy. So far, do you think He'd take the job? Do you think He'd say, I believe I can handle that? And the last thing is found in verse number 5. What a wonderful verse. That second word, who satisfy. We live in a world that is very dissatisfied. People are not satisfied with what they have. They work to get more, and they're not satisfied with that, so they work to get more, and they're not satisfied with that. We are a generation of people, and human life is one that is never satisfied to stay where it is. It always wants more. That's that human nature of just desire. But the Scripture says here that this Lord that we're dealing with here, He satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Complete satisfaction. I don't know if I've ever been completely satisfied or not. There's been a few times at the table I was satisfied, but I was miserable. I don't know if we can say we've ever been satisfied with everything, because there's always something in this on this side of heaven. I was talking about repairing things. I said, you know, on this side of heaven, everything has to have maintenance. Everything has to have care. But there's a day coming that's all over. No more working to make it right. No more repairing and buildings that need painted and cars that need repaired and homes that need fixing. And it's always something. You get one thing done, you say, well, boy, I think I can rest a while. And while you're saying that, probably a water hose will bust or something. There's always maintenance to do. There's always something to take care of. But the Bible says here He's going to satisfy us. And we'll be satisfied. And here I see there's a provision. He says, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. David said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God gives us things we need. He satisfies us. He satisfies the longing of our soul. He satisfies the hunger of our heart. He gives to us. Psalm number 50 and verse 10, the Lord says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Somebody says, the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's true. But He owns the hills too. And He owns all the gold under the hills, and He owns it all. So therefore He can say, I'll satisfy you. Your longing heart, your longing soul can be satisfied by a God that owns it all. Paul said in Philippians, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's a loving Savior. He loves us. And He satisfies us. So He gives us provision of the mouth, and He's promised to take care of His people. He has promised to do that. And not only does He provide for our mouth, He provides peace for our mind. To be able to lay down at night and rest, not to be troubled. To give us that. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4 says, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Because he trusteth in Thee, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I'm glad tonight He can give us peace of mind. When trouble's all around us, the Lord can say, it's okay. When the storms of life are raging, thank God He can come by me. When the problems come before us and we look around us and we maybe are like Peter and we're just sinking because we see all the problems, I'm glad the Lord can say, peace be still. I'm glad to say, come here, Peter. I'll take care of it. And the Bible says when the Lord said, peace be still, the water became as a mirror of glass. At His word, things change. So it's a pretty good benefit package, and He gives us all these things. The benefit package offered by employers to this world may satisfy some things, but can't satisfy everything. What we've read here tonight, I believe, satisfies it all. I believe I'll take it. I believe I'll just say it's okay. And the Lord has given. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless the Lord. To start out that great passage and then to end it the same way, bless the Lord. Tonight, of all things that we should do, we should be able to bless the Lord. I had a fellow one time talking to me. He's sort of ill. And he was he wanted to say some bad words, but he didn't. And he just kept saying, bless the Lord, bless God. I said, quit cussing me spiritually. Just quit using those words that way. Because when David said that, he was reverent to God. And I'm glad tonight that we can say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And that's really what matters, my soul. Things are well with us because of what He's done for us and what He's given to us. And David could say, bless the Lord. I love the life of David. David was a man, but he was a man after God's own heart. David had his sin. I have my sin. You have your sin. But David was used of God probably more than any person in that generation and generations to come. He was a man that God chose to use, to be used of God to establish a great nation. And now here, 3,000 years after that, the little nation of Israel that the world hates and despises, you know what flag they fly? Star of David. A man that said, bless the Lord. So may God help us to honor Him because He's honored us. He's given to us so many benefits. I believe I'll take the job. I believe it'll be okay. I believe He'll handle the situations, and I can say, bless the Lord. Let's stand together tonight.